We'd like to welcome back everyone this evening to our afternoon service. Before we get started, I'd like to go back and mention some of the things that Brother Batty spoke of in his sermon that was entitled Unlocking the Mystery. And this was the sermon that he gave that was concerning Psalms 69. In the beginning, he asked, and Brother Duane pointed this out very well this morning, but the question was, is the psalmist talking of himself, or was he talking of someone else? And we learned that even though the things that are said in Psalm 69 could be concerning David, they were actually the prophecy of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 through verse 10, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So the verses tell us that none of the rulers of that age knew the mystery, and if they had known the mystery, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. He said there are things in the Old Testament that if all you had was the Old Testament, they would remain a mystery. He said today, and this is Brother Nathan I'm talking about, he said today Scripture has only one meaning. It is not a new meaning in the revelation of the Old Testament, but it is the full meaning of the Scripture of the Old Testament. There were things prophesied in the Old Testament that the prophets themselves didn't know the full meaning of. He said that the Old Testament was not our law, but it was for our learning. And the Apostle Paul points this out in Romans 15 and verse 4. There he says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I didn't know until Brother Nathan called my attention to it that even the apostles did not know the full revelation until after the resurrection of Christ. He pointed this out in John 2, verse 13 through verse 22. There we read, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said to them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So we see there in verse 17 and verse 22 what he was talking about concerning the resurrection of Christ. It says in verse 17, then his disciples remembered that it was written. And in verse 22, it says his disciples remembered that he had said to them. Notice, then Brother Nathan spoke of the concept of progressive revelation. He said, work systematically through the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Read forwards until you get to Christ. and then read backwards from Christ. Read the New Testament with Old Testament eyes. Scripture is meant to be read from Genesis to Revelation. And Revelation is meant to be read from the Genesis perspective. After this lesson, Unlocking the Mystery, I can tell you I have developed a whole different way of studying the Bible. This evening our text verse is Psalm 69 and verse 8. There it says, I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. From the text, this word stranger refers to an outsider. In Psalms 54 and verse 3, we read there, for strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Alienation by friends and family and members of a common experience of those who were suffering. You remember Job's response during his suffering concerning his friends? Job said in chapter 16 and verse 20, my friends scorned me. My eyes pour out tears to God. And David said in Psalms 22 and verse 6, but I am a worm, a no man, a reproach of men, and despised by my people. Worm expresses humiliation, an ideal that is further developed with the scorn of enemies. Shaking the head with a physical gesture, often associated with sneering and mocking. In Psalms 31 and verse 11, there it says, I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and I am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. So suffering often results not only in ridicule of enemies, but also abandonment by friends. In a real sense, it is hard to tell who your friends are and who your enemies are during such times as these. Psalms 38, verse 11 and 12. There it says, my loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my faith, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. References indicate that the fact of friends and loved ones listed in verse 11 and those who seek the life in verse 12 makes it possible that the friends have become like enemies. Brother Nathan asked concerning Psalm 69 again, was David speaking of himself or was he speaking of someone else? We learned that David, especially after our lesson this morning, David experienced the sorrow, the suffering, and the rejection of friends and family and his enemies. But David was also speaking of the Christ. In Isaiah 53, verse 1 through verse 5, there it says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Old Testament prophecy, it's all a mystery. We have the revelation of the Old Testament. It has been revealed to us through the New Testament. We think, how could the Jewish authorities and even even his own family not know that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. In John 1, verse 10 and 11, there it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And in John 7 and verse 5, it says, for even his brothers did not believe him. In John 10, verse 19 and verse 20, there it says, therefore there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? So Jesus wasn't teaching a new meaning of the Old Testament prophecy. He was teaching the full meaning. Let's turn back now to the book of Mark. There in Mark 3 and verse 21, there it says, but when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Jesus' friends, literally those from him, probably included his family and neighbors from Nazareth. To lay hold on him is the same verb that is used for arresting. They were intent on taking Jesus by force against his will. And if necessary, Mark implied that Jesus' family tried to do what the Jewish authorities tried to do. Neither Matthew nor Luke mentioned that Jesus' family thought he was out of his mind. These people feel Jesus has become so carried away with his work that he is no longer thinking clearly. In Mark 6, verse 1 through verse 6, there we read, then he went out from there, and he came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us also? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and even his house. Now he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the village in a circuit, teaching. And coming to his own country, this means one's native place, his country, or his city. And although Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he grew up in Nazareth, having lived there about 30 years. And in coming to his own country, Jesus puts himself to the severest test. He is coming home. And there is none more questioning of his ministry than those who have known him since his birth. As usual, Jesus enters the synagogue on the Sabbath and he begins to teach. They were astounded at the wisdom and the insight Jesus reveals in his doctrine. The word many indicates that most of the people who hear him were impressed. But there is a feeling of dissatisfaction that will prevail in the end. In Luke 4, verse 28 through verse 30, there it says, so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. And passing through the midst of them, he went away. The townspeople, having known Jesus for some 30 years, and they have never suspected he had such gifts and wisdom. None of the other members of his family demonstrated such powers in Nazareth. So they questioned the source of Jesus' ability. Here Jesus is called a carpenter. And in Matthew 13 and verse 55, he is called the son of a carpenter. The people of Nazareth know Jesus. They know his family. They know his family's trade. And they cannot bring themselves together. Or they can't think of this, of all that with what they are seeing and hearing. It is though the people are saying to themselves, who does he think he is? And Jesus marvels at the depths of unbelief of the people who should have believed in him the most. Then he went about the villages in a circle, teaching. Short lesson. In closing, in the Gospel of Mark, the final scenes of the crucifixion and the resurrection are found in chapters 15 and 16. They are the final events and the results of unbelief of Jesus. The Bible says that the chief priest accused Jesus of many things, but he answered nothing. Pilate, willing to contend the people at the cost of justice, delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away in the hall called Praetorium. And they walked together, the whole band. This band of soldiers consisted of some 600 soldiers. They clothed him with purple, which was a royal color. And they plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. This was a mocking corruption of Hail Caesar. They smote the King of the Jews on the head with his own scepter to indicate, as they believed, the weakness of his own reign. They spit on him, and bowing their knees, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put on his own clothes, and they led him to be crucified. It was the third hour, and they crucified him. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And the Bible says that the scripture were fulfilled. It said, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, Ah, you that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves, and the scribes said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. It was after his death and his resurrection that the prophecy of Psalm 69, verse 8, was understood. Again, it says, I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. I have to admit, it's one of the hardest lessons I've ever had to put together. Mark doesn't have as much prophecy as some of the other Gospels do and some of the other letters do. And it amazes me, though, how Jesus could live with folks for some 30 years and they not recognize who he was when the time came. If there's someone that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come as we stand and sing.